Hello and welcome to the Small Church Mentor Podcast, where we work to empower the pastors, leadership, and members of small churches to be what God wants them to be. I'm your host, Gary Feuer, and I'm proud to serve you. Today's topic, are you a shepherd or a rancher? If you've been keeping up with the podcast, subscribe and just kind of watch it, you'll notice that I have taken several weeks off, a couple months off, close to, and summer months just seems to bury us. So much going on between two different camps and going to the fair with the kids for 4-H and just some drama going on in the church that needed some more attention and focus. And so I had to readjust some priorities. We talked about that in another podcast, a couple podcasts ago. Feels like it was so long ago. But we're here today and we're here now, hoping to serve you a little bit with this question. Are you a shepherd or a rancher? I think this is an awesome question, and I heard it more or less in the context of business. And I'm not so much liking to bring business world into the church. I think business and church is different. I think you can force growth on a business. I think that God brings growth in a church, although He uses His people to do so. I do still believe that the book of Acts says that He brought to, added to the church daily such as should be saved. Now, that being said, the apostles and those in the church of the day, they went out and got people and brought them into the church, into the fold. They went out and spoke the word. They went out and taught. They went out and evangelized, if you will. But at the end of the day, God brought them in. The Bible says that God brought in such as should be saved. And so I have that very strong in my mind. I don't think we should force build a church. I do believe that we avail ourselves to the ministry God has for us, and then we watch it grow. It's kind of dangerous to bring too much corporate practices, business type practice into the church. You kind of lose sight of trusting in God. And first and foremost, we need God. We need the direction of God. We need the guidance of God. We need the leadership of God. However, I do realize and recognize that there are many corporations and many corporate, many business type growth processes that could very well have originated in the church. The church seems to have gone away from what the business world of today has seemed to pick up. So when I see things like this, I realize questions like, are you a shepherd or a rancher? In a business concept, I realize that this was a biblical concept before it was a business concept. And as we look into it, I hope you find some of that very same opinion that I have. So if you've heard this in the business context, please don't shut it off. Please don't say, Gary, the small church mentor, he's just turning to this world for help in the church. That's not at all what I'm doing. I find this when I read this, it resonated in my heart as a spiritual principle. And that's why I'm sharing it. If you remember David, when he was about to approach Goliath, how it was that he went to the king and said, yeah, I want to go up against Goliath. And the king says, you're just a boy, and Goliath's been a man of war since his youth up. What can you do? And David took him back to the principal and the time he spent in the field with the sheep. And he says, you know, there was a lion come up and a bear come up, and I slew them both. I didn't run. I stayed my ground and slew them both. Are you a shepherd or a rancher? I copied this down. A shepherd cares for the sheep. A rancher breeds the sheep. I'm going to add one more to it. And I ask myself the question, how can I encourage my sheep to reproduce? And if you're a member of a small church and you're looking at your pastor thinking that he's somehow deficient in not building the church, not bringing in more people, understand this. The sheep are to beget sheep. And so I'm not saying that if the church isn't growing, it's the congregation's fault. the members' fault. That's not at all what I'm saying. The pastor bears a huge responsibility in church growth also. But what I am saying is that the sheep beget sheep. And so, first foremost, I want to talk about the shepherd caring for the sheep. Then I want to talk about the rancher breeds the sheep or brings on more sheep. And then finally, I want to talk about how can I encourage my sheep to reproduce. And we know that when I say my, it's not possessive, it's more identification, because everybody in the church is the Lord's. We don't have any Garians. We have Christians in the church. So I'm not so much being possessive as I am identifying. When I say my church, I'm not being possessive. I'm identifying as God's church. But God's church is broad. It speaks to many different organizations. But when I say my church, all of a sudden, people can picture this little building on the corner here in inner city. But we want to just proceed in. A shepherd cares for the sheep. I said it on previous podcasts. If you haven't listened to them, go back and listen to some of them. You could pick and choose, or you can subscribe, binge listen. There's not so many yet that's so hard to do. Somewhere between 15 minutes. There was a few in there. I got to about half an hour, but binge listen a little bit. But for those of you that have missed it, I care for some animals, especially in the summer months. I have chickens all year long. I got pigs in the early spring till midsummer, and sheep from mid-spring till into the winter. And I think my wife is talking me into getting a cow. I'm not sure yet. I've always wanted a cow. I think it'd be fun, but don't know the first thing about raising a cow. But that's never stopped me before. One of the fun things that we've done in the last 3 or 4 years is we've been raising sheep. And I've learned a lot about sheep. I've learned a lot about how to raise them. I have learned a lot about how to kill them, not on purpose, just because I didn't know how to care for them. But we've gotten better. I don't think we lost any sheep this year. We've got 6 of them sitting there just getting fat for us. And so I don't know what we're going to do with 6 sheep. There's only 6 of us in the house, but we've got them. Anyway, looking at them sheep, I learned a lot from raising them, and I kind of understand a little bit more about this question: are you a shepherd or a rancher? And so I realize one thing is, even though I love raising them, and even though I love having them around, even though I'm glad we're doing it, my wife is a shepherd. I'm a rancher. She goes out, I guess, I don't know much about it. She did the research, but I guess sheep get what's called belly bloat. They won't stop eating. They will eat themselves until their belly explodes within them. That's just crazy to me. Now I'm talking about feed. If you have them graze, it's not quite so bad, I guess, from what I understand. Or if you wean them from their mother, it's not so bad. But we had to bottle feed them. We get them as runts and we bottle feed them. And so they will overeat and blow their bellies up. And there's a sermon in that right there, the gluttony of sheep and the gluttony of people, how we will eat of the grossness of this world until it will come and destroy us. But nonetheless, they have to take shots. Now, I'm not averse to blood. I help butcher our chickens. I take care of the killing and the plucking. My wife takes care of the gutting. She's an awesome woman. We need to get her on this podcast one day. But we go out there, so I'm not so averse to the whole blood and guts thing, but I'm not a fan of it either. And one thing I don't know how well I could do is give a shot. To actually poke skin with a needle is kind of, well, it's kind of hard for me to do. And so when it comes time to give our sheep the shot, and the shot helps them not to overeat, I guess it does something within them so that you could transition them from the milk to the feed and they won't get belly bloat. I don't know what's in it. I don't know the science of it. I just know they need it and about when they need it. My wife could tell you all that. She goes out and I have to hold them real still. And they kick and they don't like being held like that, but I have to hold them real still while she gives them a shot in the rump. If it were up to me, they wouldn't be getting the shot. I would be feeding them little by little and slowly, gradually increasing their feed until they just don't need the shot. Until they, and if we lose some, there's some things I don't want to do. There is a problem with the sheep because we don't dock or cut their tails. We let them grow long just because. And so we get them. And when they're young, they don't quite lift their tails when they relieve themselves. And if you're not careful, it'll leave crust so that it I don't mean to be gross, but it plugs them up so that they cannot release themselves. And again, they'll get bound up, get constipated, and they'll die. I don't like to clean a sheep's rear end. My wife, however, she'll go out there and she don't like it either, but she does it. Now, when they get more self-sufficient and they're easy to tend to, my wife says, okay, it's your turn. And she backs off. So she hasn't been out to take care of them. She'll remind the kids sometimes if I'm busy at work or if I've got a long day ahead of me. She'll remind the kids to go out and take care of them. But whenever I can, I take care of them. I buy the feed, set it up. So all the kids have to do is pull scoops out of the bin and all these things. But I'm the one that takes care of them primarily once they get off the bottle. She's the one that takes care of them up till then. And if there's something that needs that extra special attention, she jumps right in while I back off. She is a true shepherd. You got some stuff going on in your church, and sometimes it feels like you have to give a shot of medicine, and they don't like it, and they squirm, and they kick, and they fuss, and they cuss, and it's funny how you're giving medicine trying to make them good, and they're trying to kick you in the meantime. I know I'm right. I was about to ask, am I right? But I know I'm right. There are people out there that you need to give medicine. It's for their good. It's for their better. And they try nothing but to kick you in the end. And it's kind of frustrating and it's kind of irritating. But the shepherd will take the kicks, administer the medicine, and wait for it to do some good. The shepherd will go up behind them when the people in the church just leave a mess, and there's people in the church that leave a mess. And a true shepherd will care enough to stay back and to clean that mess up a little bit. It's not glorious. It's not a glamorous position. I get the feeling at times that people look at the pastor and maybe have the thought in their mind, man, sure would be nice to be able to make all the calls. And it's kind of frustrating when you think of it that way. I don't need to make all the calls. I don't want to make all the calls. And I sometimes, quite frankly, get tired of going up behind somebody and cleaning up after their mess. But that's what a shepherd does. A shepherd cares for the sheep. I get it, and I understand that the Bible refers to Christ as the good shepherd, and then there's sheep. And sometimes I wonder where the middle guy comes in. I wonder where the leadership and the pastor comes in. Isaiah 56 verse 10 says it this way: his watchmen are blind. They are all ignorant. They are all dumb dogs. They cannot bark. Sleeping, lying down, loving slumber. Yea, they are greedy dogs which cannot have enough, and they are shepherds that cannot understand. They all look to their own way, every one for his gain from his quarter. This is an indictment against the leadership, or if you will, I know they weren't pastors then, but the pastors of that time, if you will, equivalent of such, calling them, those were dumb dogs because they wouldn't speak out against what was going on in Isaiah's day. But nonetheless, he referred to them as dogs. My buddy, good friend, for years, I don't talk to him much now, but I still count him a good friend just because of all he's been and done for me. He says that the pastors are more like sheep dogs than they are shepherd or sheep. And I think he fit it right. In verse 11 in Isaiah 56, he does call them. He refers to them as shepherds that cannot understand. So we have some of that title. We have some of that responsibility. And we need to be that good shepherd. The next is the farmer or the rancher. And all they're concerned about is breeding the sheep. More, more, more. We want more people. We had one of the mega churches in my city, big church, was doing good things. I didn't necessarily believe in them greatly, but they were doing good things. And the pastor, what I listened to, had some good things to say. And again, I don't think I would have attended there, but I wasn't mad at the church. And had a good pastor, like I said. The organization, the denomination they belong to, removed that pastor, and I'm speaking third party, so I don't know, but I'm sure this does happen, so I'll go ahead and speak it. I was told that they removed that pastor because the church wasn't growing enough. That frustrates me. That frustrates me because this man was taking care of his sheep. He was a shepherd's heart. He cared for his sheep, but they weren't growing fast enough. I find a difference between a lot of times between a younger pastor and an older pastor. A younger pastor is usually concerned about growth, 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 while an older pastor is concerned about the people in the church. If you're a rancher and you just want to breed sheep, maybe a pastorate isn't so much what you're called to. Maybe you should be more under the guise of an evangelist. And maybe not so much to go out and evangelize other churches, but maybe to support and encourage your pastor and help others in your church to reach out to others. We have a man in the church, he had a stint as a pastor, and that was fine. He did well enough with that. But then he was drawn, just things happened in his church, and he was drawn to shut it down. And I was fortunate that he decided to come to the church that I pastor. And he's been such a great support, such a great help. We'll get him on the air one of these days. But his call in his ministry is to reach out to the lost. He's an evangelist at heart, and he's good at it. Not so much, I say good, not so much that he draws people in and that he's reached people, but good in that he has really done a He started a street evangelism and different things, and he's done good about training up other street evangelists, and they go out with a heart and a concern. And this man will talk to any, I've been out on the streets with him, and he's walked right in the middle of a drug deal to give out tracts and to talk to him about Jesus. And I thought that was really cool, and he's done a good job. You see, he was fine as a pastor, but his gift in his ministry is an evangelist. He had to give up the one so that he could function in the other. And if you want to breed and if you want to reproduce the sheep, and it's all of our responsibility, and I'm going to get to that in a second, but if that is your primary focus in your heart is to just bring more in, that's awesome, but maybe you should more be an evangelist. I hear so many people that say they are church planters, and that within 2 years they've raised their church to 2,000 or 4,000 people. That's fine, but you have to be careful, because if all you're doing is building, 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 and you're not laying that deep foundation, one day that building's going to crumble and collapse. And as a pastor, I sat out and listened as a man gave an altar call as a pastor. But he wasn't. He was more. I don't even know if I'd say he was an evangelist. He just wanted to breed. He just wanted to build. He just wanted to reproduce. But the altar call and the call for salvation was very shallow, and very weak. And he himself said it. He was one of them. I've heard this from several different people, but he was one of them that I heard use this question: "Are you a shepherd or a rancher?" And he claims that he's a rancher. He just wants to bring more in. Question, Pastor. What are you bringing them into if you're not giving any depth? You see, the rancher just wants to bring them in. I'm frustrated with my sheep this year because they're not getting really fat. I told you, I'm a rancher with these sheep. I'm a farmer with these sheep. I just want to get them fat so we can get them down to the processor and put them in the freezer. That's all I'm after. It's frustrating me. They're not getting very big. And if that's all you care about is getting them big, then the next generation will be leaner, and the following generation will be leaner. You need to raise a thoroughbred to breed a thoroughbred, to gain a thoroughbred. My wife, because of her shepherd heart, we have healthy sheep. Now, they're not growing as fast as this farmer wants them, but they are healthy. She did a good job at it. In the church, I'm not a rancher. In the church, I'm not a farmer. I've never had a burning to reproduce the sheep, to breed them, if you will. My burning is to feed those that are here. My burning is to equip them, which brings me to my last part of this. How can I encourage my sheep to reproduce? And Pastor, if you're not encouraging your sheep to reproduce, then that's where you are coming behind in the lack of church growth. I challenge you, shepherd, if you really care for your sheep, you need to teach them how and encourage them to reproduce. If you want a healthy flock, a healthy herd, teach them to reproduce. I heard it. I'm going to say it again and again and again. This podcast, I've said from the very beginning, is not about you building a bigger church. That's not what it's about. But I did hear it recently, and I thought it was pretty good. Healthy things reproduce. Now, you might reproduce, and they might move on somewhere else, and you may never grow in that reproduction. I've reproduced personally. I have 4 children. Me and my wife have doubled our number and our carbon footprint on this earth, if you will. We have 4 children. I love them. I think they're awesome. But one day they're going to leave my house. So we went from 2 people to 6 people in our house. And one day I'm going to go back down to 2. Hopefully. That is the plan, right? You may raise your church up just to dwindle again. And it may get frustrating for you. Some churches are just called to be small. It may be frustrating for you. But nonetheless, you ought to be reproducing. And if you're not, start asking yourself the question, how can I encourage my sheep to reproduce? So the question, are you a shepherd or a rancher? And if you're a shepherd, how can you encourage your sheep to reproduce? Hey, I hope this was helpful to you. I hope that you missed me in my long summer break. I am looking forward to being more diligent about a weekly podcast. That was my goal, and as winter's coming on, I'll have a bit more time. Work grants me 3-day weekends. How about that? Isn't that a blessing and pretty cool? Of course, it's only 2 days by the time you come and you got church on Sundays, but nonetheless, they offer me 3-day weekends, so that frees my time up a little bit. Winter months, don't have as much going on. I like to kind of bury myself in a nice warm environment. And so we are looking forward to maybe a weekly podcast. I will try to trim these, and I'll try to have a little more coherent thoughts to keep it at 15 minutes. I keep blowing that out of the water. But it did feel good to be back. It felt good to be talking to you again. Please let me know you miss me. Please let me know that you're glad we're back. Please let me know if there's anything that I have said to help you. And most definitely, let me know if there's a topic or a thought that you want me to address. I address everything from my perspective and from my sometimes opinion. And if I can at all bring biblical fact to it, I absolutely do. But I am a small church mentor. I have pastored a small church for, it'll be 18 years this coming February. I have been in a small church for well over 30 years. I have well over 30 years, probably closer to 35 years. I have a lot of experience, and I'm just wanting to pass some of that along to you. I don't want you to get discouraged, and I don't want you to quit. So look up to your help. Look up to Christ. Look up to God. See what He can do for you, in you, and through you. If you're walking in truth, maintain. Walk in truth. Get a hold of me, a small church mentor, at gmail.com. smallchurchmentor@gmail.com. Check us out. If you haven't yet, subscribe on iTunes. Hey, leave me a comment on iTunes, or even better yet, shoot me an email, personal email, to smallchurchmentor.com smallchurchmentor at gmail.com. I really, really would love to hear from you. It would be an encouragement, and maybe it would help me to be more devoted to my Friday, my weekly podcast idea. Look for us on Facebook. Like us there. Let's get some movement on Facebook. Would be awesome. The website, smallchurchmentor.com. Wherever you reached us from, those are the places we are. Just help us to be well-rounded. Thank you very much for listening. Hope that was a help. Bye.